Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Then these eyes my Lord shall know, my Redeemer and my brother. In his love my soul shall glow, I myself and not another. Then the weakness I feel here shall forever disappear. Thomas is often referred to as the doubter. But quite honestly, that's a little unfair. In fact, it's not even textual. The word doubt never even occurs in this text at all. Instead, the lasting message, the one that most of us remember as we come to the doubting Thomas text, is blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. These are the words that we use to sort of rub Thomas's nose into the fact that he didn't believe the disciples' declaration, that Jesus had indeed been risen. But all the while, it's actually these words that Jesus uses to tell us how blessed Thomas really is. But wait a minute. Didn't Thomas see? He was there in the upper room, right? And so shouldn't that mean that Thomas is not blessed? Or at the very least, isn't he less blessed than we are because he got to see the Lord right in front of him? Aren't Jesus' words explicit here that those are blessed who believe even in spite of the lack of physical evidence? Well, that all depends. Jesus asks Thomas a question. Have you believed because you have seen me? And the question never gets an explicit answer. Thomas never voices why he believes. However, there are clues throughout the Gospel of John that will clue us in to what this book is all about and what Thomas's confession actually meant. You remember that at the beginning of the Gospel of John, we have the Word. The Word was with God, the Word was God, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And then today, we get this sort of prologue of sorts where it says that all of these things have been written that you may believe. Words begin the Gospel of John, and the Word ends the Gospel of John. And all in the middle, we have these characters who come into direct contact with the very Word of God in the person of Jesus. And they see Jesus, and they see his miracles, but that doesn't mean that everybody always believes. Feeding of the 5,000. Plenty of people got to experience that miracle, but the day after that miracle was accomplished, it said many people stopped following Jesus. Why? Because he had hard words. Hard words for the people to believe. In fact, most of the time when Jesus does a miracle, it's because somebody already believes ahead of time before he even gets there. The truth is that words are the important thing in John's gospel. Conversion is the responsibility of the word alone. And so again, Jesus' question, have you believed because you have seen me? Well, if Thomas is a believer at all, the answer is no. He's believed because the Lord came and spoke to him. Because the Lord said, hey, look, Thomas, here I am. This is the crucifixion that I endured for you. And here's the resurrection standing right in front of you. And Thomas makes his confession right there. See, we need to look closely at the gospel account as it unfolds. Because, you know, what happens is first Thomas hears the message and he goes, I'm not going to believe this. In fact, here's my list of demands. Here's my list of requirements. I have to see the nail holes. I have to put my finger in there. I got to thrust my hand into his side. And only then will I believe. And yet when Jesus makes his appearance, what does he do? He speaks the gospel. And the text, again, it never says that Thomas did touch his hand. It never says that Thomas did thrust his hand into Jesus' side because it was unnecessary. Thomas didn't have to. The, The words of resurrection peace were enough for Thomas to believe. The word of God, as it came into Thomas's ears from the Lord himself, was enough for Thomas to believe. And yet here we are, hundreds of years removed from this event, right? And sometimes we find ourselves acting just like Thomas. We wish we could have been there, right? If only I had been there on that day when Jesus stood amongst the disciples, well, then this faith thing would be so much easier for me. If only I'd been there when Jesus turned water into wine or fed the 5,000 or raised the dead or did any of his miracles, that would make life so much better. It's like we give God our list of requirements. God, I need a sign. I need to show me you're real. I need you to give me measurable proof. If I'm sick, well, I want you to end that. Cure my sickness. I want to hear you speak from the cloud. Miraculously multiply, maybe not bread and fish, but could you miraculously multiply that number in my bank account? That'd be great. Then I'll finally know. God, if you are who you say you are, bring my loved one back to life. Dispel the uncertainty. That relationship that has now been broken, put it back together. We have our list. And we think to ourselves, well, God, I will never believe unless these things come. But even in spite of our own doubt and our own list of requirements, Jesus comes and he stands amongst you to speak the words of resurrection peace into your ears. Peace be with you. That's the Lord's message for you in this upper room. Or if you like it another way, your sins are forgiven. Jesus is in the business of restoration and he will follow through with his promises every single time. His message in John 20 is for you. Blessed are you because you believe all of these things about Jesus without ever having seen him. Blessed are you because the Lord has given you faith in his death and his resurrection, and you haven't even been able to measure it. Have you believed because you have seen Jesus? Of course not. Because you haven't, not physically, not like Thomas. No opportunity to touch his crucifixion wounds. But you do see him. Blessed are you because you see Jesus through the eyes of faith. You see Jesus as the words come into your ears because this God-man who went to a tree to be crucified, to overcome all of the sin of the entire world, you believe it. Why? The only explanation is faith. Because the Lord has granted us to be blessed and believe. You believe in a Jesus who then after his crucifixion, after he died, after he shed his blood for you, he came back to life. 3 days being dead, and yet then he stood back on this earth, lived and breathed as a human being yet again. And you believe it. Without any evidence whatsoever, thanks be to God that he has granted you faith by the power of his Spirit. And if these miracles are true, then all the others are too. Jesus did. He walked on water. He brought the dead back to life. He gave blind people their sight. Lame people were walking. Demons were cast out. We believe it on the word alone. And then, like Thomas, we confess. My Lord and my God. It's what we do in the Creed. It's what we do when we come to this altar to receive the very body and blood. We proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. That it is truly Jesus' body and blood in the supper. Can we prove it? Can I put a communion wafer under a microscope and measure it or put some wine in there and go, oh, here are the molecules that are Jesus' blood and here are the... No! We don't see with our physical eyes. We see with our faith. Blessed are you who live in these promises of Christ, who live knowing that just a little bit of water and some words that are splashed onto your head, and you know what? It grants you eternal life. Can you test tube it? Can you measure it? Can you give me proof? No. But you don't need it. Because you have God's word. You have God's promise. And God never, ever, ever breaks a promise. My friends, there's still one thing we mentioned today that we haven't actually gotten around to yet. It's the fact that we still want our sicknesses healed. We still want our loved ones to come back from the grave. We still want that number in our bank account to be multiplied miraculously. And for that, we have faith too. Because there will come a day when Jesus will give us the same resurrection that he went through. As the firstborn from the dead, you too will enter the same resurrection. Into an eternal life where sickness won't exist, where you'll be reunited with those you love who have died in the faith, and where God has a treasure for you beyond any of our wildest imaginations. God will usher you into a place where all of the sin that we experience in this world, it doesn't exist. Why? Why does he do it? Because blessed are you who have not seen and yet believed. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.